Okay, so it is Twitter Tuesday. Welcome to the Leader Smith Podcast.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leader Smith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so last Tuesday, I tried something new. I called it Twitter Tuesday. I just went on Twitter and looked for hashtag leadership and just started searching quotes. And most of it was nonsense. A lot of it was like people trying to sell their seminar or, hey, read this article, hashtag leadership or something along those lines. But I found, with some effort, I found a number of really good quotes and things to consider. And so I asked you if there would be, you know, if you have any feedback, let me know if this is a good or bad idea. I did not get any negative feedback about it. So I'm proceeding with Twitter Tuesday and we'll just make this a regular feature. Okay, so first, Twitter Tuesday. Here's our first one. This is from Jerry McCann at The Merry Monk. He said this, and oh, by the way, there seemed to be kind of a theme of things that have been said, and a lot have to do with what's going on in society rather than just any organization. Some are both clearly, but they tend to have a little bit more of that flavor. Okay, Jerry McCann at The Merry _Monk. He says this, forgiveness is bitter, yet medicinal. Revenge is sweet, yet poisonous. Your choice. So you have to choose. Now, I like that. I think he's right. It is hard to forgive at first, but that's how you get the healing. And then revenge is sweet, but it's going to hurt you. And it's true. You do get to choose. And I think he's onto something. And I think when we're talking about or focusing on what's going on in society, I think there's a lot of bitter forgiveness that needs to be going on, and the revenge that's going on is only amplifying the problems. And it is our choice. We can choose to do one or the other, and we're choosing, unfortunately, more of the other, it seems. Okay, next one. This is from Lolly Daskal. Lolly Daskal is she's kind of a bigwig out in leadership land. If you're not familiar with who posts what about leadership, she's been doing it for a long time. And I followed a lot of her work. It's pretty good. She has a lot of insight about leadership. Okay, so her meme was, decisions driven by heavy emotion are typically misguided reactions rather than proactive judgments. And I like that because I think, you know, we do need to grasp the importance of emotion in leadership. But if you let your emotions run over your reason, bad things tend to happen. That's true in society, as we saw with riots and other things. It's also true in organizations, too. So you need to restrain your emotions. Your emotions should be indicators telling you that something's going on. They should not be the core driver of what you do. Okay? Let your neocortex run your decision-making processing, but let your emotions inform you. Okay, next one. This is from Karine Vergasi, I guess. I don't know. CERENV or at CERENV. She said this, always remember that leadership is a privilege. When you're in a leadership role, your influence may affect the trajectories of people's entire career and often their lives. Wow. I mean, that's really powerful stuff. And I try to emphasize this. So good job, Karine. I try to emphasize this in class when we're talking about leadership. People think it's like, it's all about me. It's about, what will people think about me? No, you're shaping people's lives. Leadership is a heavy responsibility. It's important because, I mean, the thing that your third grade teacher said to you that sent you off on this different direction in life, I mean, that's leadership, right? So let me say that again. Always remember that leadership is a privilege. When you're in a leadership role, your influence may affect the trajectories of people's entire careers and often their lives. That's right. Leadership is a heavy responsibility. That's one of my favorites that I've seen throughout this whole thing. Okay, Scott Lutton at Scott W. Lutton said this, the most powerful leadership tool you have is your own personal example. He's right. I mean, you know, if you have a choice of saying, do as I say, not as I do, what do people listen to? They see what you do, not what you say. If you say, hey, kids, don't smoke, and then you light up, what's going to happen? They're going to take the cue not from what you said about not smoking, but what you do, which is smoking. Same thing works in organizations. The most powerful leadership tool that you have is your own personal example. And so if you are saying cut costs, cut costs, cut costs, but then you're spending like a drunken sailor, people are paying attention to your spending like a drunken sailor, not by your cost-cutting decree. Okay, next, this is by Supply Chain Queen, at Supply CHN Queen. Okay, she says, don't let blind people proofread your vision. Follow your North Star. And at first, I dismissed that quote, and then I went, whoa, wait a minute. There's something very right about that. Don't let blind people proofread your vision. Okay, so you have a vision. You know where you're going. You know where you're trying to go. Remember, we gave this... another example of a great quote about vision the other day, or last Tuesday, we were talking about this came from Warren Bennis, and he said, leaders are people who believe so passionately that they can seduce other people into sharing their dream. Okay, so that's what leadership is. That's what vision is properly, okay? You believe in it so much that you're seducing people into that vision. I mean, it becomes something that we're all on board with because your passion. Now, she says, don't let blind people proofread your vision. What does that mean? Blind people proofread your vision. Well, if they can't see it and they're trying to edit it, they're trying to change it, but they don't get, yeah. I mean, there's something really right about that. So you got to be aware, and you know, if the thing is right, it's right. It doesn't matter if they don't subscribe to it or not. If it's the right thing, follow your North Star. And I use that North Star example in class too, because I use that more than let's have a plan or let's have a vision. I say, well, what's a North Star? Like the organization's, and I'm talking about the organizational mission or the department's mission, that's the North Star. We can follow it, and we can follow it independently. As long as we know what the North Star is, we can follow that independently, even if you don't know or I don't know certain aspects or details, or we're starting from different places, we can follow that North Star. Okay, so that was good work. Next, Beck West. This is the Beck West, or at the Beck West. He said this, if you wish to know what a man is, place him in authority. And he just listed that as a proverb. That's very similar to Lincoln's quote that, you know, a lot of people can withstand adversity, but they have a very difficult, if you want to test a man's character, you have to give him power. Very similar. So I'm giving that an honorable mention. The next one, I grabbed the picture because it was a picture on Twitter, but it did not have, I didn't grab the name from who it came, but the quote was this, and it was at www.leadingtomorrow.org. It said this, successful leaders know the issue is not prioritizing your schedule, but rather scheduling your priorities. And it said unknown. Well, that sounds a lot like Covey talking about, you know, it's not about jamming more stuff into your schedule. It's about making the important things get into your schedule first. And so I think there's a real kernel of truth here. Anybody dealing with productivity or trying to figure out how to get more into your day, it's really not about just trying to do everything. It's about trying to do the important things and letting the other things fall away. But, you know, I found it to be really interesting during the COVID crisis here over the last however many months when everything shut down. And now in my world, I'm teaching in school, right? So as a professor, I went from teaching in my classroom, went to spring break, and then we came back. Sorry, school shut down. You're teaching everything online. Okay, I can convert. But beyond the teaching online, all these activities that we did just kind of evaporated. Like this meeting was canceled, that meeting was canceled, this gathering for that, or this conference for that. All these things, like it was like 90% of what we did, we didn't have to do. And some of it was valuable, and then some of it was people just trying to justify their existence or something by having this event in order to justify that they do something. It was really interesting. So, but the real priority was that interaction with students. So when you prioritize that most important thing, there's room left for the other things, and then you have to figure out if those things are even still valuable. Okay, anyway, I'm digressing. I'm just going on with that story. But I think that it was instructional to me to see like all the things that we did that we don't really have to do. We just kind of do. And it would be wise for you to think back through that and think about whether you need to be doing everything that you're doing. And just it's like zero-based budget, what everything that you do. And just like, do we need to do this? Do we need? And if you say you need to do it, is it just because we've always done it? Or is it something that you could probably do without? And if you could do without it, why don't you try it? See what happens. Okay, let me go on to the next one. This is from Julian Stodd, at Julian Stodd. Okay, and so this is a quote that he, you know, it's a larger quote that's like a picture of a quote, and it's by him. And he said this: the role of the leader is not to have all the answers, but to hold open the space, to create the conditions, and to offer the support for every individual to find them, sometimes alone, sometimes within the arms of their community. Now, he goes on for three paragraphs, so let me just stop there. The role of a leader is not to have all the answers. Absolutely right. Okay, and if you pretend that you have all the answers, we know you don't have all the answers, so now you just kind of look like you think we're stupid. Okay, so don't do that. But to hold open the space, to create the conditions, to offer the support, to do all these things, to create the environment is what he's saying, for individuals to find them. That's exactly right. That's what leadership is. It is not about you doing it. It is not about you having all the answers and then telling us to do it. It's about you creating the bubble. Like, I remember this one time, I was congratulated because we got something done. And I said, well, you know, it's really not me. If anything, I was just like, what was the Fantastic Four, Plastic Man or Mr. Fantastic or whatever his name was, that just, he was plastic and could create like a huge bubble around something. I said, that's what I did, right? That's all I did. And then the person that was responsible for it actually got it done. But that's because I protected it. That's it. That's the way that you should be thinking about it. Okay, paragraph two. Our power as a leader is held less in our immediate ability to influence the system, more in our ability to empower others. That's exactly right. It's not about I, the leader, am doing this, but you're creating these conditions for others to be able to function. It's kind of like the difference between the way that Republicans talk about the economy and Democrats talk about the economy. Democrats talk about, I'm going to bring jobs. No. Republicans, if they're smart, talk about how they have to prune regulations in order for jobs to come. More often than not, if they know what they're doing and they're talking about from business perspective, you need to have an environment that's okay for growth. That's what he's talking about. It's not that you're going to do a thing. You taking the credit's not going to help anything. You trying to make jobs isn't really going to help anything. But if you create an environment where those jobs can take root and grow, that is awesome. Okay, so just by way of analogy, that's very similar. Okay, next paragraph. But this ability comes at a cost. We must be humble enough to listen, willing enough to learn, and safe enough to entrust our reputation to our teams. That's right. I mean, you have to be humble. You have to listen. You have to be safe. All those things are requisite to create that environment in order for leadership to grow. And so, Julian Stodd, you are kicking butt and taking names. That is a great, great quote. And I'm very, very proud of what you put together there. You would get an A+ if you were in my class. Okay, next one. This comes from Steve Jobs. It's a quote that ML All In, at ML _ All In. Wow, that's a tricky name, isn't it? They posted this. It's a quote from Steve Jobs, and I really just don't like Steve Jobs generally. Like, he did some amazing things, but he was kind of a tyrant. Nonetheless, this is a correct quote. This is one of those do as I say, not as I do. He did differently, but what he's saying is right. Management is about persuading people to do things that they do not want to do, while leadership is about inspiring people to do things they never thought that they could. Now that's right, exactly right. Like I said, he's a tyrant. When you read biographies of Steve Jobs, I would not want to have worked for him. But his quote is spot on. Leadership is about inspiring people to do things that they didn't think that they could do. You so believe in them that they live up to things that were beyond what they even thought that they could do. That's awesome. So it's a great quote. And I'll leave my commentary on Jobs alone because I keep poisoning the well of when I'm trying to highlight the positive leadership things. Okay, here's the last one. This is the 10th and last for this session. This comes from Steve Keating at Lead Today. And he says this, quote, "Leaders want commitment, not compliance. And it's relationships, not authority, that drive commitment." Okay, absolutely. Relationships, not authority, that drives commitment. I he's got it exactly right. You can either try to get commitment, and I talk about this in class. You can either have control or commitment. You can't necessarily have both, at least not in the same way. Like if you're trying to like micromanage, have control, make sure that everything's going exactly the way that you want, you drive out commitment. But to the degree that you simply seek commitment, focus them on the North Star and drive commitment to that thing, you get control. Now you don't get control in the same way. It's not the same kind of control where it's done exactly your way, but it's the control that they're already moving toward that North Star. So you can have one or the other, but how you act will lead them to one, either commitment, or two, control, and you have to decide which one you value. Okay, that's all that I have for today. These are some great quotes. I hope it gives you some food for thought. Thank you for your time and attention, and I hope that helps you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow.